Parliament of the United Kingdom, from Wikipedia, the Free Encyclopedia, available at http://en.wikipedia.org. The Parliament of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland is the supreme legislative body in the United Kingdom and British overseas territories. It alone has parliamentary sovereignty. At its head is the Sovereign, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. The Parliament is bicameral, with an upper house, the House of Lords, and a lower house, the House of Commons. The House of Lords includes two different types of members, the Lords Spiritual, the senior bishops of the Church of England, and the Lords Temporal, members of the peerage. Its members are not elected by the population at large. The House of Commons is a democratically elected chamber. The two houses meet in separate chambers in the Palace of Westminster, commonly known as the Houses of Parliament, in the City of Westminster, in London. By constitutional convention, all government ministers, including the Prime Minister, are members of the House of Commons or the House of Lords. Parliament evolved from the early medieval councils that advised the sovereigns of England. In theory, power is vested not in Parliament, but in the Queen in Parliament, or King in Parliament. Legally, the Queen in Parliament is a completely sovereign authority. In practice, in modern times, real power is invested in the House of Commons. The Sovereign acts on the advice of the Prime Minister, and the powers of the House of Lords are limited. The United Kingdom Parliament is sometimes called the Mother of Parliaments, as the legislative bodies of many states, most notably those of members of the Commonwealth, are modelled on it. However, it is a misquotation of John Bright, who had actually remarked on the 18th of January 1865 that England is the Mother of Parliaments, in the context of supporting demands for expanded voting rights in a country that he considered had pioneered parliamentary government. Chapter 1. History. In the Middle Ages and early modern period, there were three kingdoms within the British Isles: England, Scotland and Ireland, and these developed separate parliaments. The 1707 Acts of Union brought England and Scotland together under the Parliament of Great Britain, and the 1800 Act of Union included Ireland under the Parliament of the United Kingdom. Chapter 1.1. Parliament of England. The English Parliament traces its origins to the Anglo-Saxon Witenagemot. In 1066, William of Normandy brought a feudal system, where he sought the advice of a council of tenants and chiefs and ecclesiastics before making laws. In 1215, the tenants and chiefs secured the Magna Carta from John, which established that the king may not levy or collect any taxes, except the feudal taxes to which they were hitherto accustomed, save with the consent of his royal council, which slowly developed into a parliament. In 1265, Simon de Montfort, 6th Earl of Leicester, summoned the first elected Parliament. The franchise in parliamentary elections for county constituencies was uniform throughout the country, extending to all those who owned the freehold of land to an annual rent of 40 shillings, and were thus known as 40 shilling freeholders. In the boroughs, the franchise varied across the country. Individual boroughs had varying arrangements. This set the scene for the so-called Model Parliament of 1295, adopted by Edward I. By the reign of Edward II, Parliament had been separated into two houses, one including the nobility and higher clergy, the other including the knights and burgesses, and no law could be made, nor any tax levied, without the consent of both houses as well as of the sovereign. The Laws in Wales Acts of 1535 to 1542 annexed Wales as part of England and brought Welsh representatives to Parliament. When Elizabeth I was succeeded in 1603 by the Scottish King James VI, thus becoming James I of England, the countries both came under his rule, but each retained its own Parliament. James I's successor, Charles I, quarrelled with the English Parliament, and, after he provoked the Wars of the Three Kingdoms, their dispute developed into the English Civil War. Charles was executed in 1649, and under Oliver Cromwell's Commonwealth of England, the House of Lords was abolished, and the House of Commons made subordinate to Cromwell. after Cromwell's death, the Restoration of 1660 restored the monarchy and the House of Lords. Amidst fears of a Roman Catholic succession, the Glorious Revolution of 1688 deposed James II, otherwise known as James VII of Scotland, in favour of the joint rule of Mary II and William III, whose agreement to the English Bill of Rights introduced a constitutional monarchy, though the supremacy of the crown remained. For the third time, a convention parliament, i.e. one not summoned by the king, was required to determine the succession. Chapter 1.2. Parliament of Scotland. From the time of Kenneth MacAlpin, the early Kingdom of Scotland had been ruled by chieftains and petty kings under the suzerainty of the King of Scots, all offices being filled, through election, by an assembly under the Gaelic system of tanistry, which combined a hereditary element with the consent of those ruled. After Macbeth was overthrown by Malcolm III in 1057, the feudal system of primogeniture was gradually introduced, as Scotland came increasingly under Norman influence. In the High Middle Ages, the King's Council of Bishops and Earls evolved into the unicameral Estates of Parliament of 1235, with the colloquium at Kirkeston, the first meeting of Parliament for which records survive, which had both a political and judicial role. From 1326, the three estates had clerics, lay tenants-in-chief, and the Burgh Commissioners, approximately equivalent to the early burgesses, later members of Parliament in the contemporaneous Parliament of England, sitting in a single chamber, with powers over taxation and a strong influence over justice, foreign policy, war, and legislation. The Parliament chose a committee called the Lords of the Articles, comparable to a modern Select Committee, to draft legislation, which was then presented to the full Parliament to be confirmed. Following the Reformation and pressure from the Kirk, Catholic clergy were excluded from 1567, and after Protestant bishops were abolished in 1638, the Scottish Parliament became an entirely lay legislature. During the reign of James VI, the Lords of the Articles came more under the influence of the Crown, and following his accession to the throne of England in 1603, he used them to run Scotland from London. During the Wars of the Three Kingdoms in the Covenanting period, which is 1638 to 1651, the Scottish Parliament took control of the executive, effectively wresting sovereignty from Charles I. After Scotland was invaded by Oliver Cromwell, his protectorate government imposed a brief Anglo-Scottish parliamentary union in 1657. The Scottish Parliament returned, after the restoration of Charles II, to the thrones of England and Ireland in 1660. He had already been crowned King of Scots at Scone on the 1st of January 1651. After the Glorious Revolution formally changed England's monarch in February 1689, William II of Scotland, also William III of England, summoned a convention of the estates, which considered competing letters from both William and from James VII of Scotland, who is also James II of England, and set out its terms and conditions in the Claim of Right, and duly proclaimed William and Mary II to be the joint monarchs of Scotland at Edinburgh on the 11th of April, 1689. Chapter 1.3. Parliament of Ireland. The Irish Parliament was founded to represent the English community in the Lordship of Ireland, while the native or Gaelic Irish were ineligible to vote or stand for office, the first known meeting being in 1264. The English presence shrank to an enclave around Dublin known as the Pale. In 1541, King Henry VIII declared the Kingdom of Ireland, and embarked on the Tudor reconquest of Ireland. The Gaelic Irish lords were now entitled to attend the Irish Parliament as equals of the majority of English descent. Disputes followed the English Reformation, when most of the population remained Roman Catholic, and in 1613 to 1615, constituencies were fixed so that Protestant settlers held the majority in the Irish Parliament. After the Irish Rebellion of 1641, Catholics were barred from voting or attending the Parliament in the Cromwellian Act of Settlement 1652. Under James II and VII, the Catholics regained ground, and during the Jacobite War in Ireland he agreed to the Irish Parliament's demands for autonomy and restitution of lands. After the victory of William III of England, these gains were reversed, with the penal laws making things worse. Poyning's Law of 1494 had made the Irish Parliament subordinate to the Parliament of England, but the Constitution of 1782 removed these restrictions, and about a decade later Catholics gained the right to vote, though they were still barred from membership. Chapter 1.4 Parliament of Great Britain. Following the Treaty of Union in 1707, Acts of Union were passed in both the Parliament of England and the Parliament of Scotland, which created a new Kingdom of Great Britain. The Acts dissolved both Parliaments, replacing them with a new Parliament of the Kingdom of Great Britain, based in the former home of the English Parliament. All the traditions, procedures, and standing orders of the English Parliament were retained, as were the incumbent officers, and English members comprised the overwhelming majority of the new body. It was not even considered necessary to hold a new general election. While Scots law and Scottish legislation remained separate, the legislation was now dealt with by the new Parliament. After the Hanoverian George I ascended the throne in 1714 through an Act of Parliament, power began to shift from the sovereign, and by the end of his reign the position of the ministers, who had to rely on Parliament for support, was cemented. Towards the end of the 18th century, the monarch still had considerable influence over Parliament, which was dominated by the English aristocracy and by patronage, but had ceased to exert direct power. For instance, the last occasion royal assent was withheld was in 1708 by Queen Anne. At general elections, the vote was restricted to freeholders and landowners in constituencies that were out of date, so that in many so-called rotten boroughs, seats could be bought, while major cities remained unrepresented. Reformers and radicals sought parliamentary reform, but as the Napoleonic Wars developed, the government became repressive against dissent, and progress towards reform was stalled. Chapter 1.5 Parliament of the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland was created in 1801 by the merger of the Kingdom of Great Britain and the Kingdom of Ireland. The principle of ministerial responsibility to the lower house did not develop until the 19th century. The House of Lords was superior to the House of Commons both in theory and in practice. Members of the House of Commons were elected in an antiquated electoral system, under which constituencies of vastly different sizes existed. Thus, the borough of Old Sarum, with 7 voters, could elect 2 members, as could the borough of Dunwich, which had completely disappeared into the sea due to land erosion. In many cases, members of the upper house also controlled tiny constituencies, known as pocket or rotten boroughs, and could ensure the election of their relatives or supporters. Many seats in the House of Commons were owned by the Lords. After the reforms of the 19th century, beginning with the Reform Act of 1832, the electoral system in the lower house was much more regularised. No longer dependent on the upper house for their seats, members of the House of Commons began to grow more assertive. Chapter 1.6 The Modern Era. The supremacy of the House of Commons was established in the early 20th century. In 1909, the Commons passed the so-called People's Budget, which made numerous changes to the taxation system in a manner detrimental to wealthy landowners. The House of Lords, which consisted mostly of powerful landowners, rejected the budget. On the basis of the budget's popularity and the Lords' consequent unpopularity, the Liberal Party narrowly won 2 general elections in 1910. Using the result as a mandate, the Liberal Prime Minister, Herbert Henry Asquith, introduced the Parliament Bill, which sought to restrict the powers of the House of Lords. He did not reintroduce the land tax provision of the People's Budget. When the Lords refused to pass the bill, Asquith countered with a promise extracted from the King in secret before the second general election of 1910, and requested the creation of several hundred Liberal peers so as to erase the Conservative majority in the House of Lords. In the face of such a threat, the House of Lords narrowly passed the bill. The Parliament Act 1911, as it became, allowed the Lords to delay a bill for a maximum of 3 sessions, reduced to 2 sessions in 1949, after which it could become law over their objections. The Irish Free State became independent in 1922, and in 1927 the UK was renamed the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. Further reforms to the House of Lords have been made during the 20th century. In 1958, the Life Peerages Act authorised the regular creation of life peerage dignities. By the 1960s, the regular creation of hereditary peerage dignities had ceased. Thereafter, almost all new peers were life peers only. More recently, the House of Lords Act 1999 removed the automatic right of hereditary peers to sit in the upper house, although it made an exception for 92 of them on a temporary basis. The House of Lords is now a chamber that is subordinate to the House of Commons. The Scottish Parliament was established as the devolved national unicameral legislature of Scotland by the Scotland Act 1998, and it held its first meeting on the 12th of May 1999. Chapter 2. Composition and Powers. There are 3 elements to Parliament: the Crown, the House of Lords, and the House of Commons. These 3 components are separate from each other. No individual may be a part of more than one component. Members of the House of Lords are legally barred from voting in elections for members of the House of Commons, and the Sovereign by convention does not vote, although there is no statutory impediment. As an institution, the Crown is still powerful, as royal assent is still required for all bills to become law, through prerogative powers and the appointment of the government. The prerogative powers include, among others, the abilities to dissolve Parliament, make treaties, declare war, and award honours. In practice, these are always exercised by the monarch on the advice of the Prime Minister and the other ministers of the government. The monarch also chooses the Prime Minister, who then forms a government from members of the Houses of Parliament. This must be someone who can command a majority in the House of Commons. This is usually a straightforward decision, though occasionally the monarch has to make a judgment, as in the appointment of Alec Douglas Hume in 1963, when it was thought that the incumbent Prime Minister, Harold Macmillan, had contracted a terminal cancer. The upper house is mostly made up of appointed members, Lords of Parliament. The whole house is formally styled the Right Honourable the Lords Spiritual and Temporal in Parliament Assembled, the Lords Spiritual being clergymen of the Church of England, and the Lords Temporal being peers of the realm. The Lords Spiritual and Lords Temporal are considered separate estates, but they sit, debate, and vote together. Since the Parliament Acts of 1911 and 1949, the powers of the House of Lords have been very much less than those of the House of Commons. All bills except money bills are debated and voted upon in the House of Lords. However, by voting against a bill, the House of Lords can only delay it for a maximum of 2 parliamentary sessions over a year. After this time, the House of Commons can force the bill through without the Lords' consent under the Parliament Acts. The House of Lords can also hold the government to account through questions to government ministers and the operation of a small number of select committees. Currently, the highest English court is a committee of the House of Lords, but it will shortly become an independent Supreme Court. The Lords Spiritual formally included all the senior clergymen of the Church of England, archbishops, bishops, abbots, and priors. Upon the dissolution of the monasteries under Henry VIII, the abbots and priors lost their positions in Parliament. All diocesan bishops continue to sit in Parliament, but the Bishopric of Manchester Act 1847 and later acts provide that only the 26 most senior are Lords Spiritual. These always include the incumbents of the 5 Great Sees, namely the Archbishop of Canterbury, the Archbishop of York, the Bishop of London, the Bishop of Durham, and the Bishop of Winchester. The remaining 21 Lords Spiritual are the most senior diocesan bishops, ranked in order of consecration. The Lords Temporal are all members of the peerage. Formerly, they were hereditary peers. the right of some hereditary peers to sit in Parliament was not automatic. After Scotland and England united into Great Britain in 1707, it was provided that all peers whose dignities had been created by English kings could sit in Parliament, but those whose dignities had been created by Scottish kings were to elect a limited number of representative peers. A similar arrangement was made in respect of Ireland when that nation merged with Great Britain in 1801, but when Southern Ireland left the United Kingdom in 1922, the election of Irish representative peers ceased. By the Peerage Act 1963, the election of Scottish representative peers also ended, and all Scottish peers were granted the right to sit in Parliament. Under the House of Lords Act 1999, only life peerage dignities, that is to say, peerage dignities which cannot be inherited, automatically entitled their holders to sit in the House of Lords. Of the hereditary peers, only 92, the Earl Marshal, the Lord Great Chamberlain, and the 90 elected by other peers, retain their seats in the House. The Commons, the last of the estates of the kingdom, are represented in the House of Commons, which is formally styled the Honourable the Commons in Parliament Assembled, Commons coming not from the term commoner, but from commune, the old French term for a district. The House currently consists of 646 members. Until the 2005 general election, it consisted of 659 members, but the number of Scottish members was reduced by the Scotland Act 1998. Each Member of Parliament, or MP, is chosen by a single constituency, according to the first-past-the-post electoral system. Universal adult suffrage exists for those 18 and over, citizens of the United Kingdom, and of those of the Republic of Ireland and the Commonwealth nations resident in the United Kingdom are qualified to vote. The term of members of the House of Commons depends on the term of Parliament. A general election, during which all the seats are contested, occurs after each dissolution. All legislation must be passed by the House of Commons to become law, and it controls taxation and the supply of money to the government. Government ministers, including the Prime Minister, must regularly answer questions in the House of Commons, and there are a number of select committees that scrutinise particular issues and the workings of the government. There are also mechanisms that allow members of the House of Commons to bring to the attention of the government particular issues affecting their constituents. Chapter 3. Procedure. Both houses of the British Parliament are presided over by a Speaker, the Speaker of the House for the Commons and the Lord Speaker in the House of Lords. For the Commons, the approval of the Sovereign is theoretically required before the election of the Speaker becomes valid, but it is, by a modern convention, always granted. The Speaker's place may be taken by three deputies, known as the Chairman, the First Deputy Chairman, and the Second Deputy Chairman of Ways and Means. They take their name from the Committee of Ways and Means, of which they were once presiding officers, but which no longer exists. Prior to July 2006, the House of Lords was presided over by a Lord Chancellor, who is a Cabinet member, whose influence as Speaker was very limited, whilst the powers belonging to the Speaker of the House of Commons are vast. However, as part of the Constitutional Reform Act 2005, the position of Speaker of the House of Lords was separated from the office of Lord Chancellor, though the Lords remain largely self-governing. Decisions on points of order and on the disciplining of unruly members are made by the whole body in the upper house, but by the Speaker alone in the lower house. Speeches in the House of Lords are addressed to the House as a whole, using the words, "My Lords," but those in the House of Commons are addressed to the Speaker alone, using Mr. Speaker or Madam Speaker. Both houses may decide questions with voice voting. Members shout out aye and no in the Commons, or content and not content in the Lords, and the presiding officer declares the result. The pronouncement of either speaker may be challenged, and a recorded vote, known as a division, demanded. The Speaker of the House of Commons may choose to overrule a frivolous request for a division, but the Lord Speaker does not have that power. In each house, a division requires members to file into one of the two lobbies alongside the chamber. their names are recorded by clerks, and their votes are counted as they exit the lobby to re-enter the chamber. The Speaker of the House of Commons is expected to be non-partisan, and does not cast a vote except in the case of a tie. The Lord Speaker, however, votes along with the other Lords. This is the end of Part 1. This spoken article continues with Chapter 4 in Part 2.